A special zchus to give a shir before we resume, before we get back to learning and start the new zman for Mar Cheshvin. And I want to begin the shir by thanking, and I speak here on behalf of myself and my wife, Rabbi Mendel Druck and his Rebbetzin, who do some incredible kiruv work. This year is for Parshas Lech Lecha. We'll start with the interesting Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yud Gimel. And I don't know how to classify this Gemara. Is this a halachic Gemara or is this an Agadata? Tani Bar Kapora, Kol Akore Li Avram, Avram Over B'Yesei. This week's Parsha, of course, it has one central figure. He and his wife, I should say, Avram and Sarah, the first couple of the Avos, setting the tradition of Klal Yisrael. And Bar Kapora says in the Braisa that Avram's name was changed from Avram to Avraham. And if one would call Avram, Avram instead of Avraham, after the change was made, he violates an essay, Shenemar Vahoya Shimcha Avraham. And the Torah says that in a positive sense, you have to call the name Avraham. Somebody calls Avram violates this essay. The Braisa then quotes Rabbi Eliezer, who goes a step further. Over Balaf, not only has he violated an essay, but to boot, he violates a lav. Shenemar, Velo Yikra Od Eshimcha Avram. And Velo Yikra is a Lashon of a Losase. And as I said at the outset, we have to figure out whether or not we're dealing with strict halacha. Is this a prohibition? Is this a violation of an essay that has to be brought down in the poskim? That's what we have to analyze. The Gemara asks the following question. Would it be that somebody who violates the same lav and essay, if instead of calling Sarah, Sarah with a hey at the end, he calls her Sarai, as her original name was, before it was changed. Hasam, the Gemara answers, in the case of Avram Avinu, Kudshe Brichu, Amali Avraham, Sarai Ishtecha, Lo Tikore Es Shma Sarai, Ki Sara Shma. Simple pshat of the Gemara indicates that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was addressing Avraham, and he was telling him, Avraham, that his wife's name has now been changed to Sarah. It doesn't seem like it's a law that applies universally to everyone. Hashem was addressing Avraham. Elomiata kore Yaakov. Yaakov is Hachinami. Should he also be in violation of a law? And there the Torah clearly is recording this in the Torah, Lenetzach Netzachim, as a name change for all of Klal Yisrael, for all of for universally, it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is addressing Yaakov. So shall we say that if someone calls Yaakov, Yaakov, he violates a law? We never heard such a thing. Shiny Hasam, the Hadra Hadre Kra, the Torah itself, subsequent to the name change, calls Yaakov by his original name, Dichsiv Vayomer Elokim, Li Yisrael B'maros HaLayla, Vayomer Yaakov, Yaakov. So we see that even after the name change, HaKadosh Baruch Hu addresses Yaakov as Yaakov in his original name, and this is recorded in the Torah. Now, in order to begin our analysis of whether or not, in the case of Avram at least, somebody calls Avram by his original name Avram without the hey violates a law in an essay, is this la halacha l'maisa? So we'll soon see that the later poskim referred to the Magen Avram. The Magen Avram is in Simon Kuf Nun Vav. And there he writes, HaKore Li Avraham Avram Over B'Yesei V'Lav. And the reference is the end of the perek, the first perek of Brachos, the Gemara that we saw on Daf Yud Gimel. It means that the Magen Avram actually codifies this La'alocha, violating both an essay and a lav. And he makes no bones about it. He's very clear and upfront. But if we go back to the later Achronim on Brachos, on Masechet Brachos, the Sugya itself, we'll take a look at the Noda B'Yuda, the Tzlach. He writes the following: Harif v'harosh hishmit or Hishmitu Kol Zevel Oivu Klal. The Gdolei Poskei Arishonim, the Rif and the Rush, these are the sources for all Apsak Halacha, they completely omit this Halacha, this Sugya. And Hadavar Tamua Lomelo Heviu, why was this left out? Valohu Dover Anohug Leda Lizor Shal Likros Avram Avram. This is something that should have been codified. It has a practical significance. You know, you could argue that sometimes the Rif and the Rush will omit certain sugyas from their codes, but that's because those sugyas are theoretical and not practical. Here we're talking about something that's actually practical on a daily basis. Why did they leave it out? The Rambam lo hizkir dover zebachibur agadol. The Rambam in his Mishneh Torah left this out. So we have the three major pillars of halacha, all of whom left out this essay in Losas of calling Avram by the name Avram. The gam tema al rabbeinu agadol shol hizkir din ze bismak. In the smak, which is an enumeration of the Taryag mitzvos, this was left out. V'chein kol moni ha-mitzvah slo uskiru le-mitzvah zuklal. The Tzlach points out that you won't find this mitzvah anywhere counted, enumerated in any of the moni ha-mitzvahs. And therefore he says, obviously they were able to calculate and come up with 613 without this mitzvah. The imkain, but if we take the Gemara literally, he says we don't find in the Moni mitzvahs, if we would add this mitzvah, Saseh mitzvahs losa, we come up with 615 instead of 613, and not only that, none of the poskim bring down this Isol Halacha, Rak, with the one exception of the Magen Avraham, B'Sima Kuf Nun Vav. V'Be'er Sheva B'Daf Lamid Kosav Midalo Manu Moni HaMitzvahs Mechlal Shu Rak Asmachta V'Alma U'Dvarav Dechukin. So the Be'er Sheva, one of the early Achronim, claims that from the fact that this mitzvah was omitted in the Taryag and all the Moni HaMitzvahs, we must conclude that the whole deal is only an asmachta. It's not to be taken literally as a lav d'oraisa, a lav gomur, but rather it's an asmachta b'alma. I mean, it's interesting because the Be'er Sheva might have an answer as to why it's omitted in Taryag, because if it's only nesmachta, it's not counted as a mitzvah d'oraisa in Taryag. But on the other hand, it really doesn't answer the question as far as the poskim are concerned, because generally speaking, an isa that is called an nesmachta is at least an isa d'rabbanon. It may even have more severity than a regular classical isa d'rabbanon, but it should have been brought down in the poskim. So that question the Be'er Sheva is not addressing. Whereas the Tzlach is addressing that question, why isn't it brought down in the poskim? And all he found was the Magen Avraham. It would be very strange that all the poskim until the Magen Avraham omit this. And here we only have the Magen Avraham to bring it down. If you take a look in Brachos, again in the Sugya, the Marsha is also a bit baffled by this whole thing. He says, V'da ki akor li Avraham, Avraham lo zachru ha-poskim, de'istei la'vi'esek. Why is it that the poskim omitted the lav in the essay of someone who calls Avraham Avram? Vafilu lo hayarak asmachta bi'alma. And even if you argue, as we saw in the name of the Be'er Sheva earlier, that this derivation is only in asmachta, avali lahaskir de ispe mia isura. Maybe it's not in Doraisa, maybe it's not included in Taryag, but it is an isur. Vitzarech iyud. And the Marsha is baffled in general by all these types of name changes. We saw it by Yaakov Avinu. Yesh l'dagdi pe'elu shinu ha'shemus ma'ishno be'avram shenekar harishon legamre v'over belav al shem avram u'ma'ishno be'yakov d'harishon tofel v'asheni ikar. So why do we find the following? This is the Marsha's kasha. This is already more perhaps in the realm of Jewish thought, of machshava and philosophy, why is it that with regard to the name change of Avram, it's an irreversible name change? The original name of Avram without the hay is completely null and void. Whereas in the case of Yaakov Avinu, although there was a name change, and now we have the name Yisrael, but we find that the name Yaakov is still at least a secondary name, call it a Tafel, but it's definitely a name, and it's a valid name. So we can summarize basically two problems, which have various nuances of and tributaries, but the two fundamental issues that we have to address are, number one, why this Issur by Avram is not brought down neither in the poskim, the fact that it's not, nor in the Moni HaMitzvah, the fact that it's not brought down in the Moni HaMitzvah, is that something that we could live with if we call this an Asmachta? But nevertheless, as the Marsha points out, it still should be brought down in the poskim, and we shouldn't have to wait till the Magen Avram in order to find some mention of this Issur. And secondly, why is it that the name change of Avram completely undermines the original name, whereas in the case of Yaakov, whose name was changed to Yisrael, the name Yaakov is not undermined, it's not completely voided? And here what we want to look at is a sefer called the Anaf Yosef. The Anaf Yosef, which is broken down into many different sections in explaining the Smichas Chachamim on this halach of Kalakori Avram, Avram over Biese, he writes, Hikshu Kol Amafarshim, all the Mafarshim ask, Lama Hikvid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Gabi Avram Shlo Lekrosa Avram Gabi Yaakov Lo Hikvid V'Nishar Lo Gam Shem Yaakov. Why is it that in the case of Yaakov Avinu, the original name Yaakov remains, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not so makvid, he's not so insistent on replacing the original name, whereas in the case of Avram, he replaces the original name, and now the original name is completely null and void. And what we're going to see now is an answer, which, as I said before, this whole issue about why one name change is irreversible, it's absolute, the other name change only adds an Ikar Hashem, but the original Shem remains as the Shem Tafel, is more of a philosophical question. That's what we'll see here, it's almost Kabbalistic. And he writes in the name of the Smichus Chachamim, Nira L'tarit Zalpim Adi Isa Deos Hei Natal Kadosh Baruch Hu Mishmo Agadol V'Nesano Li Avram. Where does the Hei that was added to the name Avram come from? You know, every letter that's added has to come from something or some place. For example, in the case of Sora and Sarai, the Hei comes from the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yud, by the way, which was replaced by the hay in the case of Sarai, is going to come in front of the Kisei HaKavod and ask, what about me? What happens to my status? You see very carefully that every letter that's replaced is replaced by some sort of higher sphere. And in the case of Avram, the although there's not a letter that's replaced, but there's a letter that's added, where does that letter come from? The hey comes from the name HaKadosh Baruch, the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Again, I don't think it means that God is completely bereft of that letter. I mean, his name remains the same. But nevertheless, now God is, in some sense, is totally identifies with Avram. Avram has a piece of divinity. And the name change is either a cause or at least a reflection of Avram's transformation in his very essence. He's a new being. V'lachein hikpid HaKadosh Baruch Hu shelo legroa oso ha'os shehu mishmo ha'gadol. If you leave out the letter of the hey of Hashem's name when you call Avram Avram, it's almost as if you've robbed Hashem of one of his letters, because now Hashem and Avram become sort of an identification that Hashem, again kaviyachal, I can't use any other words, is incomplete without Avram. So if you say Avram without Avraham, what you're doing is you're cutting out the letter Hey from Avraham's name, which in turn means you're cutting it out from Hashem's name. Hashem shares it with Avraham, and therefore it's a terrible thing. Mashenkein Shem Yisrael. The letter Yud is the only letter of the four letters of Hashem's name which appears in Yisrael. But the Yud also appears in the name Yaakov. So Yaakov already had in his original personality, his original name, a letter of Hashem. And that doesn't change with the name change to Yisrael. God is not so makpid. Again, these are very highfalutin and holy concepts that are way beyond our comprehension, but on a simple level, at least we see that there's a distinction between a fundamental alteration when we leave out the hey of Avram, of Avraham, and say Avram, call him Avram. Whereas in the case of the name Yaakov and Yisrael, in both names, there's the Yud of Hashem's name. Now, what we want to take a look at is a pasuk by Avram Avinu that says Ve'emin b'Hashem. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu that he's going to father the nation of Israel, Hashem promises this to Avram, and Avram believes it. The faith of Avram is solid. And the Mefarshim speak about the fact that the first time in the entire Torah that the word emunah, the word for faith, appears is in this pasuk, v'amin b'Hashem, that Avram Avinu believed in Hashem. And now, at this point, the concept of true faith, of true belief, of emunah amitis in the universe comes to fruition. It's revealed. And it's tangible in the case of Avram Avinu. And in the famous Kabbalistic work called Reishis Chachma, in the name of the Zohar, he says, Hoya Avram Avinu, Olav HaShalom, Odia L'chol Boi Olam, Sheyesh Borei Shebora HaKol, V'chazdo Mitzuya L'chol. It seems from the words of the Zohar that, well, how do we define the emunah of Avram Avinu? What's unique? What contribution does Avram, this new chiddush that for the first time there's a gilui of emunah amitis, what exactly is the content and the nature of that faith? And the answer is that there is a creator that created the entire universe, and everything that we have is all because of the goodness of that creator. The chazdo, the chesed of Hashem, is what gives us everything that we have, our existence, the air that we breathe, and so forth and so on. Now, the question I want to raise with you is that the beginning and the end of the Amun of Avram? Meaning, when you read this paragraph in the Reishis Chochma based on the Zohar, you get the impression that the contribution of Avram Avinu in terms of Amunah, and again, Avram Avinu is the first one in Tanakh to have Amunah, is something that is philosophical, it is theological, if you could call it that. It's the belief in one God, and the fact that what we have is from God as the Creator. And what we want to analyze in today's Shia is whether or not that Emunah of Avram, if it's defined in that circumscribed, limited way, is something that is faith beyond logic. Meaning, where does logic end and faith begin? Can we analyze the universe as we see it and formulate or conclude that there is a creator who's responsible as the cause of all causes, and whatever we have as existing beings is because of the chesed of that creator? Is that something that's logical, that's rational, that we could have come to on our own? Because if it is, then I'm not sure why there's a big deal here about emunah, about faith. Faith is something that ostensibly I could not come to on my own with my rational faculties. And this fundamental distinction or definition of emunah, as opposed to rational and logical philosophical conclusions and analyses, this distinction, I think, finds its most powerful expression in the chain, in the lineage of Brisk, and the Brisker approach. And it goes back early. We're going back to the Beis Halevi in his commentary on Parshas Bo, where he writes that Ikar Mitzvah Semuna, when we talk about a command of belief, that we accept the entire Torah, as it was handed down, he is referring to Torah Shebal Peh, by the greats and the giants of all the generations who transmitted the Torah. The gamashi efshal lanu levaro al yidei mofes. Even that which we cannot clarify or we cannot establish based on logic and proofs. Now the word, the adjective that the Beis Halevi adds to describe these mofs and these philosophical proofs and arguments is chotech. Chotech means, you know, it cuts right to the point. It's absolutely sharp. But that which we cannot clarify, that's called emunah. Tarei kol ma shenisbar li adam b'mofes, anything that man can derive based on logical analysis, zen nikra, the word for that is not emunah, but rather yediyah. There's yediyah and there's emunah. That's the fundamental distinction in Brisk. Yediyah, eino b'chlal emunah, is not included in emunah. Why? Because man can come to that without faith. There are such conclusive and powerful proofs and evidence based on human analysis and logic. Adayin v'anachnu mitzuvim lahamin, when the Torah says that we are commanded to believe, zeu the intention of the Torah is b'dvarim she'ena seichel masig osam b'mofes, that which our human logical faculties cannot establish based on logical proofs and conclusions. Calls manshlo yamin rak b'meshen isbarlo b'mofes. If you have an individual who will only believe and accept that which can be logically proven, so for such a person, ein lo chelik b'mitzvos emuna klal. I wouldn't say that he has fulfilled the mitzvah of emuna at all. The commotion it's tava adam lachuv kol kochosov la'avodas Hashem ulevatel osam la'avodas bevori aguf. Man is commanded to subjugate all his powers and all his physicality, loyally, devotion to the service of Hashem, to undermine any kochos that he has that might steer him off the path, and How shall I say, energize all those powers towards and direct them towards avoda, the service of Hashem. And this is with regard to the physical element of man, evari gufo, kmo shvir sataiva, v'achemdo, linyoni olam hazeh, v'tanugov. He gives examples where we're commanded to subjugate, to break our passions and our hidden need and powerful hedonistic drives for chemda of this world and all its pleasures. That's in the physical element. Kmo chen, in a parallel sense, hachiv lochuv ulevatel sichlo avodas yisbar. We have to subjugate our minds and undermine our own logical systems in certain cases in order to appreciate the avoda and implement the avodah of Hashem. V'hu be'amino b'divrei Torah esa shalo yasik b'simcha, and the content, the substance of this mitzvah is to believe in Torah even when we cannot prove or logically conclude these principles. V'alkei mishin is kalkel daita. Now the Beis Halevi becomes very harsh. He says if a person gives up on his emunah, pug libo milahamin, Hare ein koach biyad chaveru l'raposo micholyo ulachziru l'mutov rak levakish meis Hashem shiitim belibo emunoso v'yitar libo lavodoso yizborach. Once a person has what he calls a kilkul of emuna, meaning his das is now perverted, so to speak, or distorted, and it's no longer pure in the belief in Hashem, then we really need to turn to Hashem to ask for help, divine assistance, in order to bring such a person back to the good path. Now, again, this distinction between the Beis HaLevi, of the Beis HaLevi, between Yediyah and Amunah, that which could be logically proven and that which cannot, and as a matter of faith, is a fundamental distinction that was passed down by the Beis HaLevi to his children and to his grandchildren. If you take a look in the classical work of Rav Elazar Shach, or Rav Shach, here in Bnei Brak, called the Avi Ezri in Hilchus Tshuva, he says he was always wondering and pretty amazed, why do we call the first mitzvah in the Torah Emunah, faith, and that's what we're commanded to do? He says, "Bipshuto zel me'amuskolos harishonos." To believe that there's one God who created the world is something that's obvious and rational. It's the first conclusion a person should come to. The efshel liolam v'lo manig. It's impossible that the world could have come into being without some sort of creator who guides the world. V'gam mibsari echsalokai. The pasuk says that I can look at my own biological beautiful being, you know, structure and all the complexities therein, and I see God. So if I can see God by looking into nature, kol atzmosai tamarna, and if the covet of Hashem is revealed in everything that we look at, Hashemayim misaprim kvod kel, then why is that a mitzvah of emunah? Where is that faith? And Rav Shach says, I ask this question to Moran Hagon HaGadol, to the Brisker Rav, that was his Rebbe, Rav Yitzchak Zev HaLevi Soloveitchik, the Amar Li, and he told me that he himself was perplexed by this question. He asked his father, Rav Chaim, and Rav Chaim's response was that certainly, to the extent to which the Seichel Adam, the logical faculties of man, Magas, can reach this, whatever conclusions it can reach based on simple proofs, Shumuskal Rishon, which are obvious, Ein Zu Emuna, that's not called Emuna, that's not what the Mitzvah Emuna is all about. The He Yediyah, but rather call it Yediyah. Aval Chiyuv Emuna Maschel Mimokum She Kola Seichel Adam. The Mitzvah of Emuna begins where the Seichel, the logical, rational faculties of a man, terminate. Beyond that line, that's where the Mitzvah of Emuna begins to kick in. And what we want to analyze now is, since we saw already in the Reishis Chachma, based on earlier sources and the Zohar particularly, that Avraham Avinu was the first Mamim, what does it mean? What is the substance of that Emunah? What contributions is Avraham making? Is he just teaching us that there is a Creator, and whatever came into existence was caused by that Creator? I mean, that's something that we can certainly prove and conclude with our seicha, with our rational faculties. But we'd like to suggest that the Emunah of Avram, which really breaks new ground and goes beyond Yediyah, is something in the realm of the unbelievable, so to speak. It really challenges us to accept that Emunah. So before we answer that question, which is really what we want to conclude in this year, let's take a look at the Medrash in Parshas Noach. Because I think the Medrash at the end of Parshas Noach is going to give us perhaps a clue as to the nature of Avram's unique Emunah and his contribution, his great gift. Amar Rabbi Levi, the Medrash tells us that many times we find in a pasuk ein la, those two words, or something very similar to those two words, meaning a negative statement that negates something that could have been and is not. Havi la, it will come into existence. Ein la is the description, therefore, according to Rabbi Levi, of the present situation that's going to change. For example, Vatehi Sara Akara Ein La Vlat. At the end of Parshas Noach, the Torah testifies to the fact that Sara is barren, Ein La. vlad. She doesn't have a vlad. Havile, she will have a vlad. Ein la means right now, or Hashem pakad esara tells us that she will have a child. But Ein la tells us that although now she doesn't have a child, she will have a child. In the case of Chana, we find something very similar in Shmuel Aleph Perek Aleph. Ahi lifnina yiladim ulechana ein yiladim. Now she has no yiladim. Vahavili, but she will have. Kipokar Hashem eschana vatar vatelit. Tzion hi doresh ein la. There's no one who is able to connect with Tzion after the Churban. No one ein la is a doresh is. Passionately involved in Tzion and remembering Tzion, v'havilei, but there will be. In other words, Tzion is now very far and distant from the Jewish people, but that's the description in the present tense. Ultimately, uval etzion goel. The pasuk in Yeshayahu Hanavi tells us that the goel will come and there'll be a doresh Tzion. Rani akara lo yoladi pitzchi rina v'tzali. And these are other examples of lo yalada. In this case, it's a reference metaphorically to Klal Yisrael. So what we see is that the yisod of our emunah is that a situation that looks very hopeless now, it's ein la, nevertheless we believe and we have faith that it will be changed in the future. That's the key, I think. This should be, this measure should be the stepping stone, the threshold to appreciate and define the Emunah of Avraham Avinu. We mentioned Yeshayahu HaNavi. Let's look in Perek Nun Aleph. Shimu Eli, Rodfei Tzedek Mevakshi Hashem. The Navi turns to those who look for Hashem, they crave God and a relationship thereof. Habitu El Tzur Chutzavtem. Look back at the stone, the rock, that is your source. Hebitu al Avram, Avichem, vel Sarat Cholelchem. Look back at Avram and Sarah, who were the beginners and the creators of your people. Ki Echad Karasif. I called him Echad One, meaning the unique one. Vavarcheu Varbeu. And I gave him a blessing, and he multiplied. Ki nicham Hashem Tzion, nicham kol charvoseha. And the Navi goes along and continues by saying that there's consolation for the people of Israel. And the Mefarshim here speak about this habitu al tzur chutzavtem. And what does this mean? So the interpretation here from Yosef Cairo is very fascinating. He says, "Kshatem mitztarim begaluseichem." We get to the point in our exile where we almost despair. We give up hope. Bevakoshimchem al ta'atzvu. The Novi cries out in the name of Hashem, "Don't be sad. Don't be despondent. Don't despair. Simu no levavchem histaklu. Focus your attention and look at Miu Atzur Chutzavtem. Look at Avraham Avinu. Avshalachem. He is your father. And what is unique about him? Ki echad karasiv, b'tchilo nigzar aleihem, sheyu yechidim, v'lo yolidu. In this interpretation, the word echad means that they will not be able to have children. But v'avarcheu v'arbeu, I gave a blessing, I said, pray Reveh, and at that moment, Avraham Avinu's very nature changed, and so does Sarah's, of course. Shesof nismali kolom kulimenu, the multitudes will come from Avraham and Sarah. The afalpi, shatem roim achshav tzion, shakula v'galmuda l'fishah, yanachem Hashem tzion, nachem kol charvoseha. So too, look at the situation, the desolate situation after the destruction of the temple and the exile, and understand that Hashem will comfort you and He will rebuild all those churvos, all those destroyed places. And that rebuilding is a great message of hope that comes from Avraham Avinu, who upon whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows the bracha. Let's look at the great Mefarish on Nach in this pasuk here in Yeshayahu Hanavi Perek Nunal of the Radak. The Radak says, Ki Echad Krasiv. V'yamarti lo, I said to him, Lech lecha me'artzecha u'mimoladetcha. Echad hoya, v'achrechein berachtiv v'irbesiv. Avram is singled out. He leaves his homeland. He leaves the place he was born. He's unique. And when Hashem singles him out, Hashem bestows upon him the bracha. And that's why this entire discussion about Avram and Yeshayahu HaNavi is contiguous to Nechamas Tzion. Because in the case of Golus, we're on the verge of despair, of Yeush, of giving up. And the Navi says that they should have faith and understand that as bad as things look, it will get better. And the example of this, from which we have to derive our conclusion, is Avram and Sarah, who are at the point of despair. How could they have children at that late age? At that older age, Oz Pakadati and Asatil and Ben, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the children. Kach, so to Yisrael, Achashiyarech Galusa Miyot, even after the long and bitter exile, Achiyu Noashim and Agula, they gave up and they despaired. When will there be redemption? Oz, at that moment, Yifakdei Makel, Viotziyam and Agolus, God will remember them and bring them out of the exile. That's what we learn from Avram. The faith of Avram is the faith of someone who, based on logic or based on the laws of nature, has completely despaired. There's no room for hope. And yet, Hashem tells him, there will be bracha, there will be ribui, prayer revei, and that is the emuna of Avram. That is the yisod of all of our faith throughout history. We look to Avram as the source of our faith. And this concept, which we find originally in the Radak, is fleshed out by the Chafetz Chaim Zichrono Livracha. And he writes in his Sefer Shem Olam, Birak Suvim, to understand these psukim here in Yeshayahu Kachu, this is what they're telling us. Shanovi Menachem Li Yisrael, the consolation for Klal Yisrael. Asher Narich Golusam, even though their Golus is so long. Hine Pzurim B'Arba Kamfos Ha'aretz, they're spread out throughout the four corners of the earth, B'Zuyim, and they're subjugated, humiliated, Shfelim, B'Enei Kol HaGoyim. And what better generation could speak about this than the generation after the Holocaust? Asher Lefi Derech HaTev Ein Shum Ofen Klal, She'ela Shfolim V'Chaloshim, She'ein Behem Shum Sar V'Shofet Mizaram. Here's a people, a nation that's spread out. They have no country, they have no representatives, no government, no prime minister, no army. They're weak and they've been subjugated. How could it be? Haim Yu and Neslachal Amim, they will be the banner of all nations? And the answer is, says the Navi, Ein Lachal Lidog, he said, don't worry about this at all. Ki anhogas am Yisrael lo kechol ha'umos ha'olam. The way that God determines the fate and the future and the history of Klal Yisrael is radically, fundamentally different than all the other nations. Shani osam u'bederech teva. Their situation, when they go up and when they go down, is all totally, it's all dependent upon nature, natural law, cause and effect. Aval Yisrael Einam Kein Shem Tchilosam, from their very inception Viad Sofon Heim Ban Haga Acheres, they belong to a different system of providence. V'zeo Shomer Anov Yabitu Al Tzur Chutzavtem Hayu Avram Avinu V'sari Yimeinu Mosai Zochu Lebonim. At what age do they have children? Why did Hashem postpone their having children to such a late age? Lokeder kololim, to show and demonstrate that our nation is different than all the other nations. Ela achar shenizkenu Avram v'ben me'ashonim v'sarabas tishim. Only after they got older, Avram is already 100, Sarah is already 90, Shekvar nisyashu men abonim, Ein shum adam ba'olam shechashev aleim she'olidu. No one could predict, based on the laws of nature, they could have children. V'oz yoldu es Yitzchak. Then, at that point of Yeush, that's when they had Yitzchak. And perhaps we could say that with regard to the ultimate redemption of Klal Yisrael at the time of Mashiach, this is an element of Geula. This expression of Geula supersedes even that of Yitzias Mitzrayim. The question is, will there be, at the time of Yemos Mashiach, a remembering of Yitzias Mitzrayim or not? The Gemara in Brachos records Machlokas Tanoim about this. Reb Chaim Brisker is famous for saying that the reason why the Rambam omits the mitzvah of Zechiris Yitzias Mitzrayim is because the Rambam paskins at the very beginning of Hilchos Kriyat Shema that Yitzias Mitzrayim is a mitzvah both by day and by night based on the ribuy of kol. But once we use up the ribuy of kol yimei chayecha for the night, we don't have a ribuy for Yemos HaMashiach, and therefore the mitzvah is not a mitzvah L'dorei Doros. It's only called a mitzvah zmanis. It's limited in time, because ultimately the greatness of the Geula coming about, as it were, at the time of Yeush is so unbelievable that it dwarfs Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we want to conclude the Shia by reading the insights of Reb Tzadok HaKohen on this concept of emuna, of belief, even when the situation has become so dire and so despairing. He says, "Ein li yudilus ya'ish b'shum davar." A Jew should never despair. Bein binyani aguf, as the Gemara tells in Brachas Daf Yud, afilu cherev chada unachas al tzavaro al yivna me'arachmanus. He should not give up in praying to Hashem, even though the situation looks absolutely impossible. And that's in terms of his physical life. Bein binyani nefesh, and even with regard to the spiritual life, afilu nishtaka lemakom shenishtaka vechata bedavar. Man seems to have distanced himself from Hashem and crossed all the red lines. He's completely shakua. He's mud. He's knee deep in mud as far as chait and tum is concerned. Nevertheless, he should not conclude chas v'shalom that ain't tshuva moeles. He's crossed all the lines and there's no possibility of tshuva. Al yisya'ish bi'atzmo lo mashalo yuchal lifrosh od. He should not despair and claim, or declare at least to himself, I won't be able to leave and separate myself from this way, the ways of evil. Ki ein yeush klal etzel ish yudi. The definition of a Jew is that there's no yeush. V'Hashem yisbarach yochal lazor b'chol inyan b'chol binyan ha'uma ha'yisraelis. He says, God can always help us, and that's the nature of the building, the very structure, the foundation of this nation of Israel. Hoya echar yeush. It was all fundamentally post Yeush, Yeush Gomor. The Avram v'Sarah's Kedim, they were so old, Avram and Sarah. Mimilel Avram enika bonim Sarah shlo yalal das adam. No one could entertain the possibility lahamin, to believe that they would beget children. V'afil achar avtochas hamalach, even after the angel came to the malach v'Sarah Hatzadekes Yodav Emino Dashem Yisroel Kol Yochol, even though she believed and she knew that God is omnipotent, Im Kol Zet Sochaka Bekirba, how could it possibly be? Hayorachok Etzla Lahamin Zeh Biyadiyas Zekenas Avram, since she knew how old Avram was and he was past the age of having children, so she left. There was a certain element of cynicism about this possibility, this divine promise coming into fruition of having children. The im hayarotza rotzon Hashem Yisrael lefakdom hayafakdom b'mokom mikodem. Why didn't Hashem remember them earlier in their career when they were youngsters? Lemayit hanes odif. We always say that God wants to limit the miracles and the change of nature, but the answer is, may Eis Hashem Oisa Zos, this was a divine plan. Shiyah Binyan Uma, the entire structure, the building of Klal Yisrael, Dafka Achra Yeish HaGomor, should be structured after, beyond the point of despair. Shalohem in Shum Odom, Afilu Sarah Shetivkarod. when no one would believe that Sarah and Avram, not even Sarah herself, would have children. That's the essence of the Jewish person. That nothing is beyond Hashem. That the Ashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with regard to Klal Yisrael is something very unique, unlike any other nation. That's the essence of a Jew. Kol Adam Yisrael Laham and Shem Lisiyish Klal Yolam Hashem Yisrael Chachal Lazar HaYeshua LiYosid Lavo. Yeshayahu HaNavi predicts that the ultimate Yeshua will come. Vishni Hamin Lishmoseinu, when no one would believe that it's possible. V'chein Isa, we find still at the end of Masechta Sanhedrin, the Ein Ben David Boad Sheyisyashu Min HaGeula. When does Mashiach come? After we've crossed the point of Yeush, when we believe that there's no chance for Geula. Al Kain Omar, that's why Yeshayahu says, Habitu al Avram Avichem. If you want to get a picture, a vision of belief and faith for Klal Yisrael, take a look at the foundation stones. Take a look at Avram el Sarim Cholech and Sarim Menu. Degamas Cholas in Yonim Hayagam Kain Li Achra Yeush. Just like Avram and Sarim began creating that family, the glorious chain of Klal Yisrael after Yeush, there was no chance. Al Pi Derech HaTeva was impossible. Nevertheless, that's how Hashem wanted to build Klal Yisrael. That's the message for all our generations. That's the consolation, the nechama. Yiratzon may it be with His will that we understand that Avraham Avinu's emuna, which defines the essence of our nation, is not just belief in that which is rational, that which can be proven through speculation, through analysis, through philosophical conclusions and proofs that there is a God and everything that we have in this world is from God, but moreover, that even when the nature and the structure of the natural order seems to be limited, nevertheless, with regard to Klal Yisrael having come from Avram and that Emuna, there's always faith even beyond Yeush. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us that power in all the tzaras that we face today as a nation, whether it's assimilation, whether it's the wars against Israel and the enemies against the Jewish people. Faith in Tzur Machzavtim, the essence and the source of Klal Yisrael, is that there's no such thing as Yeush. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring about the Geula after Nisyashim in HaGeula, because that's the nature of our people, that's the essence, that's what our foundation stones are all about, Avram and Sarah. That's the Amun of Avram, the unique hay that was taken from Hashem's name and added to the name Avram, which means that God now identifies Himself Kaviyach with Avram and vice versa. Avram represents that faith that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could always save us. Amen. That should be zocheh to the Geula Shleima b'Mehirah Yemeinu. Amen.